This truth is for everybody. I don't think anybody's going to misunderstand what I'm going to say this morning. If you don't have the peace of God that you're saved, this is not a message on how to be saved. This is something that is very important. There are a few topics in the Bible that we can never hear too much about. The tongue is one of them. And you say, how come? Well, verse 8 says, the tongue can no man tame. There are some that have it more under control than others, but the tongue and what we talk about always needs to be reined in. If you look at verse number 1, I just want to look at the chapter with you. We're going to go from the chapter and then we're going to go kind of zero in on something. But look at verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. In other words, nobody should be striving for a position of leadership. Because the more position of a leader that you are, the more accountability you give to God. And God says, nobody should be striving as a Christian. Oh, I want to control that, or I want to be in charge of that. God says, don't strive to be a master. Don't strive to be a leader. Strive to be a servant. Strive to be a servant. Look at verse number 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. There's no such thing as somebody that's never offended somebody with their mouth. Some have offended people more with their mouth. But there's no such thing as someone who's not made a mistake in something that they said. It's impossible. We do the greatest offenses to others with our tongue. The older you are, the more you've seen and the more you've heard. But I've had things said to me that I'd really rather somebody not said. I wish they would have just taken a 2x4 and hit me over the head with it. I'd have forgotten about it in a couple of weeks. Okay, months. Okay, 2x4. All right. I've heard horrible things come out of people's mouths. I have hurt people, not even meaning to offend people. It's amazing how many mind games the devil can play. Especially in church, the word is surmisings. And I can say something and somebody will say, oh, he's preaching at me. He has a camera in my house. No, I don't have a camera in your house. I don't do that. How did he know that happened this week? I didn't. God did. I didn't. But I've had people say, you said this and you meant this. And I said, so I went back, I listened to it. I said, if God used that to touch your heart, that I wasn't preaching at you or machining gunning you. You know, I wasn't out to kill you. But it's amazing. I've said things that have hurt people. I was not intending to hurt, but it was taken offensively. It was taken in a mean way. God says here, notice the first element that offends. Notice the first element. Look at James 3:5. Look at verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. God didn't say the first sin of our tongue is lying. God didn't say the first sin of our tongue is gossip. God said the first sin that he brings here is boasting. What is boasting? Me lifting up myself. That's me boasting. Let me tell you about me and all that I've done and what I let me lift up myself in your eyes. And God says here that is what starts fire. When we talk about ourselves or we allow our pride to guide us in talking about others in a negative way, then the fire starts. When I insult somebody, it's my boasting. Why would I do that? Why would I insult somebody? Why would I be out to take somebody down? Because that would be to lift myself up. I want you to think more of me than you think of so-and-so, so I'm going to cut them down and that lifts me up. And God says our boasting is what offends. It's our pride. When I tear someone down, it's my boasting. It's my boasting or my pride that lets me use my ability to speak to exalt myself at the expense of others. Now look at verse 6, James 3:6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so that the tongue among so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. There's a lot in that verse, but God says, Jesus said what goes into the mouth isn't what defiles us. They said, how come your disciples wash, eat with unwashing hands? He said, not that which goes into the mouth defiles you, but that which comes out of your mouth. That which comes out. There's a lot in that verse, but people who don't control their mouth also don't control their body. And someone that will be gossip and negative and never bridle the tongue has other problems also. They don't bridle anything else in their life. And God says, if you aren't careful, what comes out of your mouth can make your whole body defiled. As a Christian now, he's talking to children of God. Watch this, keep on going. It said it set on fire of hell every kind of beasts and birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And I think those words are perfect and what God wants us to hear. Think with me just the opposite now. It's a blessing to encourage others with our mouth. It's a blessing to do what we were just doing and sing to the Lord and praise His name with our tongue. James 3, look at verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And then he's going to liken our mouth to a fountain. And all we got to consider this morning is the source. Ready? Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Then he's going to talk about, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. So can no, there's that word fountain again, no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. I'm using the whole chapter, and you can read it later on. I hope you do. I'm saved, but I have a fountain deep within me that can spew forth bitterness. Salt water, nasty, things that are not digestible. We have a fountain within us that can spew evil. It shouldn't, but it does. I also, when I get saved, I gain access at salvation to a fountain that comes from heaven through me to be a blessing and encouragement and lifts and exhorts by sending, and it sends joy and peace and hope and truth. So I got a fountain coming from above, a source, and I have a source coming from below. And I can either spew forth bitter things or I can spew forth good things. You say, I think you're taking this too far. When you're in James chapter 3, look at verse number 14. It says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Watch this. This wisdom is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Look at verse number 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. You see the two sources? He likens our mouth. God says our mouth is like a fountain. Now all we have to ask ourselves the question is what do we let influence? The above, where's our source, or below? Within us? Well, I just told him what I thought. Normally that's not a good thing. I'm sure when you just told him what you thought, that you weren't encouraging them. As a matter of fact, I'd almost lay it on the line. A tongue out of control means bitterness will come forth and people are going to be hurt. A husband can say to his wife, I love you, and mean it, and then just a little while later lash out with hurtful words that can never be unspoken. Same thing with a wife. You see, God tells us that unlike the fig tree that can only bring forth figs, or unlike a fresh water fountain that can only bring forth fresh water, I am not like that. I have two natures, I have two births, I have two sets of beliefs. I have one from heaven and I got a flesh. That means, as a child of God, I must get myself under control because I don't ever naturally do what's right. I don't ever naturally say what's right. I've prayed this morning so many times, I pray every time before I hit the pulpit, Lord, please, help me, guide me, I need you. Lord, help me say what you want said. But I got news for you. Everything that comes out of this mouth, you know this, is not inspired of God. Amen? Okay? We know that. We know that. That means I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. But I'm trying as I prepare to yield to the Holy Spirit and say what God wants said. I'm trying. As I learn to be more like the Lord Jesus who saved me, if I'm going to grow as a Christian, there are some things I have to keep in check or I don't grow spiritually. James chapter 3 speaks and says, one of those things that you have to get under control is the tongue. And if you, it's where we get the term, put a bridle on it. Because what James chapter 3 says, horses have bits. And how is a horse steered? You put the bit in, it pinches the tongue, and so to get away from the pain, that's because horses are so stupid. I love horses, but they're dumb animals. You got to pinch the side of their mouth, And then they're so dumb, that's how you steer them. You steer them with pain. Now, eventually they can get rain trained, but you start out training them with pain. It pinches this, so they do what? They turn the head to get away from the pain. And you do this, and it pinches this side, the tongue, and they turn, and you steer them with pain. God says you're supposed to put a bridle on the tongue, something to steer. Listen to these verses closely. Our prayer and our goal is supposed to be Psalm 35:28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Psalm 51 verse 15 says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Psalm 71:8 says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Psalm 71:15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation. I love this. All the day. Psalm 146 verse 2 says, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. What a verse. God says, I want to hear you praise me. I want your mouth to show forth my praises and my righteousness. This morning, our subject is the tongue. But there's one word concerning the tongue that I'd like to pull from the scriptures this morning, and it's the word scorner. If you'll take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 21, there is one word in your Bible that should warn us. There's things that if I don't control my tongue, I will become. And the word scorner should terrify us. As a Christian, God says there's several things in the Bible we should not want to be. This is one of them. You say, well, if you're saved, you can't do that. No, garbage. If you're a child of God and you don't yield to the Holy Spirit and do what God wants you to do, you can become anything. My potential for wrong is just as much as my potential for right. And if I do not yield to God, my potential for evil is just as good as my potential for good. And I got to be careful. You're there at Proverbs 21. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. I watch that and I think of the Antifa group and these protests and the vile groups, these people, the vileness that's coming out of their mouth, hearing them talk about abortion and hearing them talk about... I've just been amazed at that. And that is a society that we're watching as they've been trained in the colleges to hate capitalism, and everything's coming to fruition now and we're watching this. You know, I thought it was amazing when Obama was elected, we didn't protest. We kept our mouths shut, and for 8 years we prayed and watched America, watched the executive orders, watched things take place. We didn't protest. We didn't go around smashing buildings or lighting anything on fire. We just prayed. And now this crowd that's coming up, and there are a lot of young people. There's a lot of young people. They've been taught to throw temper tantrums. They're spoiled brats. And I have no problem with a peaceable demonstration, but when you're breaking things and hurting people and hitting people, they need to be put in jail. I'm glad there was over 200 people jailed at the stupid protest done a couple weeks ago. Let's get back on this. Proud and haughty scorner. What's a scorner? Let's focus on the word scorner here. A scorner is one who scorns, derides, mocks, or contemns. Scorning includes mockery. Scorning includes derision. Indignant or passionate contempt. The closest word we use... Most of the time you don't hear people called a scorner, but we do use the word critic or a criticizer or a fault finder. That's the closest thing to a scorner. This is not to be confused with standing against wrong. For instance, if I speak against the protests, I don't think it's wrong. You say, well, nothing wrong should come out of your mouth. Okay, nothing wrong, nothing negative. But if I warn, I wrote this down, when I would make mention of our government is making bad laws, it's to warn us of what's coming in the future so we're not caught off guard. The government is supposed to be held at bay by the Constitution and our Bill of Rights. If the Constitution is being neglected and sidestepped like it was for 8 years... then the people should know the tyranny that is on the horizon. People should be warned about that. I'm glad it's over. I don't think it's all over, though, but I'm glad that the Lord gave us a reprieve. No, I don't think Trump is the answer to everything. But I hope you're praying for your president. I've never seen the media so vile and so nasty. I think we're in exciting days, good time to go soul winning, good time to get people saved. That's on the government side. Now let me go to religious. If I expose false teachers from the pulpit like Joel Osteen, or John MacArthur, or Joyce Myers, or Rick Warren, I can go on and on about the garbage that is out there. I'm warning of false teachers that should not be listened to. A true preacher, as I find in the Bible, always warns and calls the names of false teachers and those who are to be, that we're supposed to be aware of. Paul did this. Paul called names. Well, you're not supposed to call false prophets teachers' names. That's not what I learned from the Bible. I learned from the Bible that I'm supposed to point out false teachers. Now that I've taken the negative, let's come back to our word scorner. Criticism is fault-finding, listen, when you can't solve the problem. Most don't want to solve the problem because they're happy to be the critic. They walk into a room and they'll let everybody know about the dirt that they find, but they'd never offer to help come and clean it. You say, what's the difference between gossip and criticism? Gossip is speaking of a problem you can't solve or you don't have the authority to solve. Gossip is talking about problems that are not in your area of responsibility. Asking questions is not gossip. I've had so many people sometimes come to me and say, Pastor, I don't mean to be negative, but I just wanted you to know that this is broken there. That's not negative. I need to know when something's broken because I'm not God and I can't see everything. Amen? Pastor, did you know this was broken? Did you know that this door is not working? Did you know that that's not being negative. That's just informing me. And you don't have to apologize for that. I need to know those things, and that's good. How come people scorn? God says here, first of all, God says a scorner is the way he is because he's proud. And we already hit that with boasting in James chapter 3. A scorner is the way he is because he's proud. You're there in Proverbs 21. Go to chapter 21, verse 22. How come people scorn or criticize? How come the tongue is so hard to get under control? Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1 and look at verse number 22. We're in Proverbs 1:22. I wanted to take James chapter 3, look at the tongue, and then take an aspect of what God says. Here's what, if you don't get your tongue under control, here's what you can become, a scorner. And you will read scorner, and we're going to look at a few verses here this morning in Proverbs. Ready? Look at Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Here God says people criticize because they like it. They like criticizing. So when somebody says, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, they did. Because the Bible says, don't turn to it, stay in Proverbs. Luke 6:45 says, of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. It was in your heart before it came out your mouth. And what your heart is filled with is what comes out of your mouth. So please be careful. If you're going to control your mouth, it would help what you control and put in your mind and put in your head. But God says critics enjoy their criticism. I wrote this down. The problem with a scorner or a critic isn't their mouth, it's their heart. We learned that a scorner is proud. We learned that a scorner enjoys criticizing. Your Proverbs, can we look at go to Psalm. Go to Psalm, Psalm 1. Ready? Look at the consequences of being a scorner. People who normally have a tongue that's out of control, Proverbs 24:21 said, dealeth in proud wrath. They normally have an anger problem also. They don't control their body. They don't control their tongue. They literally just do whatever they want. That's proof that they're not saved. That's not a proof of not being saved. That's a proof of a Christian that's not yielded to the Holy Spirit. But that's not proof of not being saved. Look at Psalm 1. Ready? There's consequences of being a scorner. Ready? I'm just looking at one word this morning. This might be more of a Bible study than a sermon, but there's a lot of truth that can be pulled out of it. Watch this. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, and then the final position, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Because first you walk, then you stop, that standeth, and then finally you sit down. And you sit down with scorners. Sit down with the critics. Sit down with those who scorn and criticize. The critic can expect a lack of God's blessing. Because God says, blessed is the man that does not walk, stand, or sit here in the seat of the scornful. They're void of God's blessing if I don't control my tongue. What else do I need to be concerned about? You're there in Psalms. Watch this, Proverbs 19:29. Go to Proverbs 19, just over one book. I know I'm having you turn to several places, and I always have you turn to places in the Scripture, but this one we're really going and looking at a few verses. These verses help us when you see it from the Bible yourself. Look at Proverbs 19. Look at verse 29. Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. That tells me this, a Christian that does not get their mouth under control, that does not, James chapter 3, put a bridle on it, control it, yield to the Holy Spirit, think before you talk. Is that what God wants you to say? A Christian that does not care and just talks about literally anything they want to talk about, God says judgments are prepared for them. There are many things I want to steer from. This helps me as a Christian. I don't want to become a critic. I don't want to become a critical person or a scorner. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 14. Ready? What are the consequences of being a scorner? Well, they don't have God's blessing. They can expect judgments that God prepares for scorners. And then Proverbs 14:6 says this. Watch this. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. That because they don't control their mouth, because they just talk about anything they want to talk about, they're not yielded to the Holy Spirit, when they finally sit down, okay, now I'm going to read the Bible, they can't get anything from it. They seek wisdom, but they never find it. They're always distanced from it. These warnings about being a critic. This is a subject, look, I don't preach on the tongue every week, praise the Lord, but I think about once a year, I need a reminder. Amen? I need a reminder. There are people in the Bible who are saved that you don't want to become. And one thing is be very careful what comes out of your mouth. Here, God says, they cannot find wisdom. They come to church. They hear preaching, but they don't ever get anything from the preaching because of their scorning. I've been in a few churches. You could tell when people come in, they've been talking about the preacher all afternoon. That's when I was an assistant pastor. Those who've been in church a long time, they've seen that. One person, man, they were so nasty and so critical, they'd come into church. And I was so tempted, I didn't do this, but this is the way I think, and sometimes it's not right. I almost said, hey, got a little preacher dripping from your mouth? That probably would not have gone over too good. Okay, so there's some things I keep. Inward voices. Outward voices? Inward voices. Keep those inside. Keep those inside. Go to Proverbs chapter 24. Ready? Proverbs chapter 24, watch this. There's consequences of being a critic that everybody needs to understand. I love God's Word. God teaches us about this. Watch this, Proverbs 24, verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner or the critic is an abomination to all men. That means to all men, saved and lost. Nobody likes a critic. But I've been around some people, they've been negative and critical for so long, they can't tell what comes out of their mouth anymore. And they really think it's right. They always see the negative. If you got a glass that's half full, it's always half empty. Watch this. Okay? What do you see? A dot, right? But nobody thought all the white. You tricked me! We're drawn to the spot, but we normally don't see all the good. Our sin nature, we're naturally negative. We're naturally critical. And if we aren't careful, all we see is the negative. But we don't see all the good. We don't see all the positive. We're just, because we're sinners. We have a fallen nature. And here's the thing. And a scorner or a critic, God says, is an abomination to all men, because here's the thing you learn about a critic. And if you've not been a Christian very long, I understand, but watch this. If they'll talk bad about you to you, then they'll talk bad about you when they're not around you. If I find somebody's being nasty and tearing down things and being divisive, I've been in one church and the pastor said, I said, how are things going? This was 3 states away. And I said, how are things going? He said, man, everything's great. He said, but this one family, this is what he said, I wish they would just hush. the problems that come from their mouth. He said, I'm putting out fires constantly. He had a critic problem. I thank God. I can say this morning. We don't have that here at Gospel Light. I'm very thankful. I'm not preaching at anybody this morning. I'm preaching this first for me. Because if I really did have a criticism problem in the church, this isn't how you solve it. Because they'll sit in the pew and they'll think, it ain't me, when it is. A scorner heareth not rebuke. Take your Bible and one more. Let's look here, well, a few more. Go to Proverbs chapter 9. Because they won't hear a rebuke, you have to be very careful about a critic. Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse 7. I'm watching the time, we're almost done. Proverbs chapter 9. Look at verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. And just in case you missed that, verse 8 says, reprove not a scorner. Don't correct a scorner. It's very dangerous. They turn on you very quickly. You don't say, well, you shouldn't be talking about that. They turn it. Just in case you missed it, Proverbs 9 says, when you do find somebody that's criticizing, the best thing you do is you distance yourself. You distance yourself, but you don't correct them. It's very dangerous to correct them. They'll cut you. They'll turn on you. The venom that comes out of their mouth. This, once again, I'm talking about saved people now. The Bible wasn't written to lost people. It's written to saved people. Let's look at the curse of the critics. Ready? Watch this. Go to, I have several. I'm just kind of skipping over some things here. Proverbs chapter, let me see here. Go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. I'll end it with this. I have three more other verses, but I'm watching the time. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Now look at verse 34. Surely he, God, scorneth the scorners. You think about that just for a second. What does it cost to be a critic? I think one of the scariest verses in the Bible is this. Because when you ask a critic, why are you doing this? Well, it really happened. And I think people need to know. Okay, let me ask you a question. If you have a bad past, okay, and I never find out about it, and you come to church because you want to grow and you want to love the Lord and serve the Lord, okay? If I never find out, just think about what I'm telling you. If I never find out anything about you that's negative, think, does that hurt me? It doesn't, does it? I don't need to know. One, I'm not God. Amen. And I checked. He's not accepting applications. The position's there. It's permanently filled. Ha ha. Okay. All right. Now come back here just for a second. I don't need to know. And when you ask a scorner, how come you're talking this way? Well, people need to know. God says he scorneth or criticizes the scorner or the critic. Would you like God to tell everybody what he knows about you? That's what that verse says. God criticizes the critic. And one thing that helps me keep my stinking, wicked, full of fire, set on fire of hell tongue, this little thing right here, what helps me keep it in check is there are judgments, God says, you can get out of control. And a scorner or a critic is what you do not want to become, because God says, I know things about you. I know it all. You say, well, my sins are forgiven. You're right. Praise God they are. But I think a critic who just, their tongue is uncontrolled, unbridled, I think they enter into the judgments of God. And God says, if I were you, I'd yield to the Holy Spirit before you talk. Amen. My mouth shall be filled with thy praise all the day. I'm given the pattern. Then Christian, this morning, I wanted to give a small Bible study on the tongue. Because it says nobody in here, myself included, has got this under control. Some have it more under control than others. But God says, don't forget about your tongue, because more pain is caused with your mouth than any other thing that you do. What does God hate? Proverbs 6. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Somebody that sows discord. What does Satan do? Revelation 12. We're almost done. I was going to go there, but let me just kind of quote it. Revelation 12. What does Satan do? Where is Satan right now?
He's in hell, sitting on a throne with smoke coming up and horn.
No, he's not. Right now, the Bible says he's in heaven, before the throne of God, accusing us. He's the accuser of the brethren. See what he just did? Did you see what your son... He said he trusted you as his Savior. I bet you're really glad you saved him, aren't you? He accuses us and uses our faults and sins against God. He accuses us day and night. God says, when you accuse the brethren, that's when you're like Satan. You say, but it really happened. Keep your tongue at bay. The tongue, it's a world of iniquity. And it's just something for all of us to check. As a child of God, I don't want to become a scorner. Let's pray. Father, please use this message this morning.